When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, great news. An ad-free version of our free episodes of What a Time to Be Alive are now available on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod, an entirely ad-free episode for you right now.
If you subscribe, you will be getting the regular free episodes along with our bonus episodes through the same RSS feed from our Patreon with no ads whatsoever.
And you'll also still get the bonus episode. This week we talk about childhood injuries. So subscribe, patreon.com/whatatimepod. Check it out.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things each week that makes you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. What is Kath sharing in the meet? We barely started. What is the what's going
it's
on?
It's Matsuflex from Tool Academy.
Yeah, oh. Sure.
No, well, now we have to explain Tool Academy to everybody.
He looks like a Tekken character.
He does. He's ready to go.
Someone in the from the Mishima family for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my man getting thrown off a cliff in Tool Academy. That is such a funny
Game, like Street Fighter with all the people from Tool Academy would be really good.
Oh, that would,
that
be,
would
sick.
Be a good game. We were just talking about the 2009 reality show Tool Academy, listeners, to fill you in.
Yeah,
I forget how we even got on it, but we got there.
Best show. Yeah. There was a best show bit where all the characters were friends with Matsuflex from Tool Academy.
And it's because I had a YouTube suggestion that was a Storage Wars release. Yeah, that's right. Okay, we unwound the tangent that happened off off mic.
Hey Hachi, get him on Tool Academy. One of the haircuts of all time. Incredible stuff.
He would not put up with anybody on there, man. It would not. Yeah. He would not be interested.
Kath, imagine. Okay, so you've got the classic balding horseshoe hair. All right. What if you just spiked that up like straight out to the sides?
Whoa.
That's a Hey Hachi cut. He's
that's
crazy.
That's kind of cool.
Also,
I feel like
he's insanely cool.
send me a pic. I feel because I've been watching Shogun. I feel like because the samurai all shave their head in that pattern. I feel like you can make that cool now. If you got that balding pattern.
Hey, Hachi just showing up in Shogun. Look at his hair. It's so much weirder than I remembered. Like, a lot higher than I remembered.
Yeah, and he's...
Yeah, it's really high on the sides, but it also comes from way lower down on his head than you think.
He's extremely
It's like the
sick.
Bottom 10% of his hair, but it's spiked up way high.
He's the head of an evil corporation, and his main goal is to kill his son and dump him off a cliff, from what I remember. But his son also
has Matsuflex.
Son is Matsuflex, who has devil powers as well, can turn into like a devil guy.
They both have devil powers. It's a good way to have a grudge. That's a driving force behind one of his sons in the tournament, is that he's trying to get back at his dad for throwing him off a cliff, which is a very rude thing for a father.
Eli, we haven't mentioned...
What is this from? What is
Tekken?
This?
Tekken.
Okay.
The Tekken verse. We haven't mentioned Jinpachi, who has the same thing but with his sideburns.
They're all spiking.
This is Heihachi's dad.
Oh my god! They're all the Pokemon, dude.
What a generation of haircuts.
They are like Pokemon, but they go in reverse. They evolve. They evolve to be less extreme as they get
less
younger.
Spiky.
Yeah.
His grandfather has also, is that, those are his sideburns? It looks like it's his beard, but you're right. It's coming off the sides.
It's coming off the sides of his beard. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. That's a lot of trouble with doorways.
Fair.
Hard to sleep. I mean, yeah. He looks like
he looks like if Christmas stayed like a pagan holiday, but we still had Santa Claus.
Oh,
it would be him.
Yeah. He's got a very Norse kind of vibes to him.
He's a little Krampus-y.
Yeah. I guess I would also assume that he was that also the head of the Mishima Corporation, but I guess he was just showing up to work as a CEO covered in chains and anklets, like board meeting with giant anklets on. What are you going to say?
Just jingling when he walks.
Yeah, he was like the CEO when they were like making playing cards or whatever, and now they're like a massive, you know, conglomerate that does all this
war machine.
Yeah.
He's in charge. Man. Yeah. What a family. Dysfunctional at best.
Yeah.
Sounds very Shakespearean or even like Oedipal, like a Greek tragedy or something.
It's very similar, probably about the same level of gravitas as all that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's the cultural impact about the same.
Yeah. You're not supposed to say...
Also, there's a big robot that's like Arnold Schwarzenegger as well.
Jack. And you're not... It's also... When you're playing Tekken, you're not supposed to say Tekken. It's bad luck. Bad luck for your match. You have to say the Japanese game. You know? I'm playing a couple rounds of the Japanese game later. Man.
Yeah. People know what you're talking about because it's the one you can't say.
Yeah. It's definitely also like contributed to like the horrible fashion of like young gameplay because you're just like, whoa, big like plastic pants with flames on them. This is very cool.
There are numerous pro wrestlers who have taken cues from Tekken characters.
Yeah.
No
there was at the one wrestling show I went to, there was a guy who was dressed in what I think are officially licensed Tekken pants. Like, I'm pretty sure he bought them. They were gin pants. Yeah.
That's
man,
cool.
This is a... We got a lot of sports stuff today. We got video game today. It's an Eli ep, an Eli celebration.
An Eli sode.
What a day. Eli
an Eli sode, yeah.
Yeah.
Just change one letter and everything changes.
We made the whole podcast out of the Eli corner. It's all corner today.
It's indestructible. Man, no section that lasted about 45 seconds, and no one including me liked that much. It was more beloved by a core section of our audience. We'll bring back Eli corner. I was like, I got everything off my chest.
I said what I needed to say.
Yeah.
I said my piece.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done. Yeah, man. Ooh, boy. Speaking of battle, do you guys? I've already worn them. I'm like, I'm going to be talking about war elephants today because I've been in the books looking it up.
Tell us about war elephants.
Well, it all started. I knew they were real. I mean, I think, but
right. You've seen Return of the King. Come on,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
On there.
Well, I was curious, so it all started with me being like, were they effective? And I expected them to be like, they were pretty effective. They were unstoppable. They were like beyond.
Yeah, they were like the nukes of antiquity.
Yeah, people would show up to fight, and then the other side had a war elephant, and they would just give up. They would just go like, no, thank you. We're out of here. but my favorite part of it was that I didn't really think about this, but it does make sense, is that there were points at which somebody would see a war elephant on the other side. Not only would they have never seen a war elephant before, they would have not been aware of the existence of elephants until they saw it. So they'd literally walk into battle and be like, whoa.
They have a monster.
Fuck is that? You're like you said, like literally Lord of the Rings, like the equivalent of one of those giants like coming through the wall. They're just like, whoa.
Yeah, that's like psychologically damaging. It's, oh, they have the Leviathan from the Bible. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't they? Isn't that what they think? The origin of Cyclops is because elephant skulls have like a big space in the middle.
Yeah, woolly mammoth skulls on the Greek Isles have like it's their nasal cavity, but it looks like if you look at it, it looks like a giant.
It looks like an eyeball,
giant skull with an eyeball. Yeah, very good. And then they just tried to freak them out because then they'd run through their own troops. So they'd just
spook it.
Yeah, yeah. They would use pigs because I guess elephants are scared. The noise a pig makes scares an elephant.
The noise a pig makes scares me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They make
horrible sounds.
Yeah. Screaming like a stuck pig. There's a reason that's a phrase.
Yeah. Patty, didn't what?
What? No, I no. They're about, you know, analogous in size to like a mouse for a person. So I think that fits. You know, it's like a little guy scurrying around.
Elephant going, eek. That's how they get them to balance on those little stools in the circus.
Little balls. Because
they're scared of the mice.
That and thrashing them repeatedly, I imagine. So,
thrashing is always part of it. Yeah.
Well, you got to start
beating the shit out of an animal.
Butter, it's going to be thrashing. Okay, that's the mat. That's what you're going to go to on your most things. Yeah. But you could also use a pig.
Just thrashing an animal. I'm training it, but you're just hurting it. Just making it scared.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the world fence because, like, the if I'm right, or like if I have my information correct, aren't elephants like very smart and very sensitive? So like, how do you get them to do war for you?
The other thing is, there's a historian that one of the things he mentioned is, he goes like, he's like, unlike other animals, elephants will fight in the battle. It's not like, I think a lot of people, because we think of elephants as like big gentle giants, they're like, well, they, you know,
no,
they
can be really
people.
Vicious.
Yeah, they no, they fight. And another thing is that they're not domesticated. A lot of people think they were domesticated. They're just trained. You have to capture an adult male elephant and train it for war, which is difficult. But they do all that, including this was like, I was like, surely this is movie magic. Like, they did pick people up with their trunk and throw them across the battlefield. Like, for real, they did that. And also bit them. Like, they would pick you up. Like, if I was going to pick my friend up with his trunk and bit him in half, I'd be like, this is over. This is more over than anything has ever
yeah,
been
I mean,
over.
That's just Stampy from The Simpsons. Just put head first, going in.
Like, yeah.
I mean, when I was in India, we went to, like, an elephant reserve, and I got to feed an elephant a pumpkin, and like it just like cracked it in half. Like doing that to an ancient Roman soldier's head, like can easily see that happening.
Like those hippos.
I guess my question though is like, they'll fight. I know they can be very aggressive. How do you get it to fight for you? That's what I don't understand.
I think it's more of a directional thing. Where you're just like everyone behind
forward.
The elephant, and
right
forward we go, and that's all they that's really had to do. I don't think like, there was a lot of strategy, but also it's like as long as the elephant's moving forward and there's things in front of it, you're winning.
things are going your
so
way.
They try to. They also like they try to scare him, and then this is sad, but that was the thing was apparently the drivers a lot of times they'd have a big sword or a chisel, and if the elephant started freaking out, they just. Drove the thing through their spinal cord because, like you said, once it's freaking out, it's everybody's problem. The battle has to stop. They're like, everyone stop. The elephant's going crazy. Please. but there wasn't a whole lot of shit they could do. It's very hard to kill one without,
an elf.
Guns, basically. Like
an elf. Yeah. You need an elf. Mm-hmm. War elves. The other side had those.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. Those are those are not elephants. Those are olifants. So that's just
in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I don't need the Tolkien heads coming after us here. Okay, coming after me specifically. So
I think we should make enemies of them. It's me a very. Let's get a beef going with all of the Tolkien world, with all of Middle Earth. Yeah.
No.
Those freaks love war. All their books are about it, right? Sauron, whatever.
Have you not read? Man. You're not a Tolkien guy.
Mm-mm. No. I should
I'm
be.
I'm surprised because you.
Everyone thinks I am.
Yeah, you like all the stuff around it. I feel like I've actually talked to you about this, and you're like, I like the real. Oh no, that was another friend of mine who was like, also into like Middle Ages stuff, and I was like, why don't you like Tolkien? He's like, because stuff actually happened that I can read about. Why would I read about a made up version of history?
It just doesn't. I don't know. Just doesn't hit for me for whatever reason. Like maybe I should try again.
To learn this.
Yeah, I know. You know, I talked about it. I think I tried the books and they were boring. And then the movies I like famously, I've definitely talked about before, like, because they were one of the things that my parents would take me to because they were just like, you like this, right? Like Star
this
Wars.
This is your stuff. Yeah.
And I fell asleep in like one or two of the Lord of the Rings in the theater.
Wow.
Return of the King. I was out, dude.
That's the best one.
This is so fucked.
Yeah. This is fucked.
I tell you what, I did like the Two Towers PlayStation game. That was good. Played out with my friend Dylan.
I hate to hear this. This is upsetting.
I'll try them again.
God damn it!
Next time I have fucking 9 hours or whatever.
There are three miracles.
Christ.
They are really
it is
incredible.
It is insane
they're
that
good.
They are as good as they are. They look perfect still. They like have aged perfectly. They're they filmed them all at once. The first one could have come out and been a total turd, and it's like, well, I guess that's it. Nope, they're all amazing. It's
I'll give
remarkable.
Him another shot, but when will I have the time? Like,
it's like really the only time that like a huge franchise movie like that is actually as good as they like hoped it would be. I feel like they've been chasing the dragon since then. Because it's like the fucking so good on like every level. And also directed by a guy who was like not a, I don't, he wasn't like well known.
No,
right?
He was coming, off like The Frighteners and stuff.
Right. He made like weird puppet movies. Like,
yeah.
But he just loves his little freaks, which is why the movies are so good. Because he's just like, I'm going to make all these little goblin, all these little wet puppets are going to be running around. Fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of running around. Now that is accurate. A
lot of running around.
Yeah, they had to get there. It was a long way to go.
Walking along. Man, if they made bread for fucking half an hour.
If they made those even like 10 years later, think about how many like quips and stuff there would be in there. It would be
we
exhausting.
Would not yeah. have, no one would have watched them if they came. Like they would have watched them at the knuckle. Time, but like we would not remember them. We would not be paying attention.
Yeah. Just Sauron's like right behind me, isn't he? Just like, yes, always.
I mean, I like as much as anybody the sort of like when they turn the goon like bad guys into like work, like there's like workplace comedy elements to it a little bit, right? Like a couple lines is okay. There's way too many opportunities for that to have felt like it had to be in there. And you know what I mean? Like just too much.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like that funny about the whole like when they're arguing about whether or not they should eat the you know eat Merry and Pippin, you know, all the guy you know meets back on the menu boys and all that. we're not going to get into how that is insane. We've talked this has been dealt with a lot
ad infinitum,
but you know just the yeah it would be it would not be you know it would, yeah,
no there's whatever. Just Look, the right you... amount of that in there. As it is. Again, perfect. They're perfect.
And
Eli
they're best
is,
for your
child
wedding,
Eli
Patty.
Is in jail for sleeping during those. How dare
that's right.
you? How dare you?
That's right.
Patty, for your wedding, the classic podcast bit, go and get the Saruman at the barber. Bring in the picture of Saruman. Give me the Saruman. Fuck me up.
Be good luck.
Yeah.
So, you have chosen death.
Those are your wedding vows.
That's what the barber would. That's what the
my haircut.
That's what the barber would say to me. Well, I don't know how I get that. I don't know exactly how I'd get the cut. I think it would just be a wig.
Extensions.
That would be
you'd get extensions.
You'd get a weave. What the hell? Get it sewn in. What's
a
the
long
problem?
White weave.
Just going into the barber, and be like, hey, can you make me look like this? It's like, well, he's got like 3 feet of hair, so no, I can't. I don't know what you think I can do here.
One of those videos where the guy's crying when they when his wife walks up to the altar, but he's got Saruman hair.
Getting his beard all wet.
Yeah. I did like that. Do you guys see that video where it's like if the mouth of Sauron had a normal voice and it's just like that guy with the crazy teeth and he's just like, so you made it.
That would be in the 10 years later Lord of the Rings for sure. He'd turn off the voice at one point to like, you know, talk to his subordinates or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Big spider, that's pretty cool. They need I'd watch it. This is going to be, I've never, there may not be anything I've said that will make people madder than this. A Lord of the Rings, like with Dragon Ball Z, where they cut out, instead of all the charging up, they cut out all the walking. Just like, boom, 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 spider, trees, like, you know. Patty is blowing a gasket. Steam wisping from his headphones.
Oh, well, yeah, why not? Sometime. I mean. Just put them on the.
See
they should
sometime.
Just get on those birds and fly over there, right? That's whatever you know. That's the way to do
right,
it.
Right? Yeah. Why couldn't the birds do them a solid? Why'd they have to walk?
It's like, oh, we'll save you after thousands of deaths and untold amounts of misery. We'll jump in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do. Speaking of jumping in, let's do numbers.
Number five.
That was good, right?
Yeah, yeah. Segway. Always follow up a good segue with that was good, right?
Yeah, that was good, right?
That deserved way better than a cut. Just you could be one of those people, but for on a podcast.
Deserved what?
Number five. This comes to us from John Evans, parenthesis derogatory. Added by them, not by me.
We were like, is that a guy? Are we insulting someone?
Yeah.
Who is this a reference we don't understand? So If the person who submitted this is not named John Evans and is just trying to get John Evans's ass, we do not condone that.
Yeah.
We do not co-sign.
Yeah. When a name in the Discord is confusing, sometimes it alarms me. So this story is about Patty's favorite brothers, the Kelseys. Patty loves them.
Patty's a huge fan.
Big time fan. Jason Kelce in particular, who I like him. He's on the Eagles, so it's hard to, which I think is a testament. But he apparently has lost his Super Bowl ring. And the way that he lost it was that I don't know exactly what these things are. They're called the Lombabi games. Which is just basically like a bunch of weird, stupid games that they play at their at the University of Cincinnati. Cincinnati, known for its watery chili, which I do like. I'm a fan of Cincinnati chili.
That's what it's known for? Watery chili?
The Skyline chili on top of the spaghetti with all the cheese on top. You've definitely seen it.
Oh, okay. I know Skyline Chili. I didn't know that its main characteristic was being watery. That does not sound good.
It's like no beans, right? And it's like...
bean free.
It's like close to a spaghetti. Like, this is all travesty to them. I like Cincinnati chili. So look, I'll just say that, okay?
Bean free. Something the entertainment landscape has been sadly since Rowan Atkinson hung up the... tweed jacket.
Hung up the tweed jacket and
hung
put
up
on
the bow tie, right? I'm trying to think of what else... The accoutrement of Mr. Bean are.
Yeah, hung up the facial muscles. So they're doing a bunch of weird little games. And one of them was that they put a bunch of fake rings in socks and then put them in a big pool of spaghetti and cheese and chili, which is the Skyline thing.
Hate this. Hate this already.
Yeah. One of them, so there were fake rings, but there's also... his genuine real Super Bowl ring was in one of the socks. No one found it during the event. And then after the event, they also could not find it. It is, as he says, permanently gone. Says, I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. So they went through it. They said, all this stuff has now been thrown away. They brought in a metal detector, still couldn't find it. It says, I think we can safely assume that my Super Bowl ring is now in a landfill somewhere in the Cincinnati tri-state area, which is going to send people flocking to the landfills with metal detectors trying to track this down. And metal detectors in a landfill are never useful.
There's no other metal in a landfill, It should be...
ring detectors.
Do we know what the object of the ring, socks, chili... game is
like, it's like in Double Dare where you had to find the flag.
I think we can safely assume that somebody stole that ring, found a sock with the Super Bowl ring, grabbed it.
I think maybe, but
it depends on if there was that much chaos going on. Was everybody like in the mix there?
I guess that's true, and maybe like the ring fell out of the sock.
Because if they're going one by one, like, nobody's stealing anything out of that nose in Double Dare. You know what I mean? Not to go back to Double Dare again, but, you know, you're up in the nose looking for the thing. Like, if there was, like, a ring in there, you couldn't get away with it, you know?
Everyone's watching.
I don't know. I think you could. I think you could do some sleight of hand in that nose.
Everyone's watching you.
Nasty game, that Double
Dare. Yeah, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Yeah. Very nasty game. Very gross. Always interesting to me that Mark Summers has a very severe OCD, and he hosted... such a gross, messy game.
Yeah.
Seems hard for him.
Man, that nose was a mess, you know? Like, there was, like, snot
that was
over
definitely
the
worst one.
It was all over the outside of the nose, too. Like, well, get a grip.
Dude. Get it together.
Yeah, get a tissue.
Also, like, the slime, so green. That's a serious bacterial infection in that nose.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see the effects of the slime come out in years, you know, years to come. I'll be like, oh,
yeah,
that was
super carcinogenic.
Yeah.
Heavy metals than you would think.
Mostly cadmium in there, actually. That's what's gives it.
I feel like sometimes you'd see, because apparently it was sweet. Sometimes you'd see people like taste it. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, they grow up, but I guess they are kids. That's the point. I can get your mouth.
Well,
no.
Sometimes it's their parents, so they, you know, they could stand to
sure.
grow up a
or
bit.
Like a celeb. Sometimes it would be a celeb getting
a celeb
slimed
in there. Yeah,
Yeah, well, you have to, I guess, I think they had two versions. They tried one version of the slime that didn't work, and I can't remember exactly why. Maybe that it was, like, really bad. It's like they dumped it on one guy to test it, and he was like, you can't do this. This is horrible.
I have chemical burns now from this
slime.
Yeah.
Let's see. First version Nick slime. See if anything pops up immediately. Okay. The original recipe was Jell-O-based, but it didn't last because it was too chunky.
Sure.
Gross.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, this is awful. Okay, so it was that, and then the replacement. So I think for most of it was a combination of cream of wheat or oatmeal, water, green food coloring, and baby shampoo. So porridge, green porridge.
Porridge, yep.
And then towards the end, this is the worst. I would prefer the other thing. It was cottage cheese dyed green. Ugh.
Oh, God.
The fucking,
yeah, that's awful.
You know it smelled crazy in there. What the fuck? God. Yeah.
Custodial staff at Nickelodeon. Terrible job. Terrible job.
Double Dare had a different recipe, and they do have a picture of the nose covered in the slime. They couldn't use the oatmeal-based recipe because studio lights would harden it into a kind of plaster on the obstacles. That's awesome.
Punching through it.
Yeah. Putting on my crampons to get up the nose from Double Dare. Yeah. No, so they used pudding or applesauce. That seems fine.
I think pudding is probably the best way to go. Although it probably gets sticky, but...
Yeah,
get some Swiss Miss vanilla pudding. It's like, all right,
I'm
interested.
I'd eat that. but to the ring,
ring.
I didn't realize we didn't. We should have gone with speaking of rings. What the fuck? We blew it. yeah. So I mean, it is also a pretty good score to come away with a Super Bowl ring. I mean, I imagine it's hard to fence.
Hard to fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Though they always sell them on Pawn Stars. They're always selling Super Bowl rings, and they never ask, how did you get guys like this is Tony Gonzalez Super Bowl ring, and they're never like,
I think it's probably he doesn't have a good life anymore. Mm-hmm. Like something bad would happen to Tony Gonzalez, probably nothing good.
Yeah he was crying when I got it, so
he was crying.
You know, it meant a lot to him.
Mm-hmm. but each ring, almost $21,000 per ring.
Patty is excited this has happened because he is sick of these Kelseys.
I need to know more about these guys. I need to hear more. I need it to be sort of without asking, and it needs to be presented to me even in headline form. You know what I mean? Reading the news anywhere, you know? And look, I read a bunch of garbage news. That's my fault. I will fully admit to that. But, you know, take me back to something every 4 hours about Rita Ora or something, you know? I don't need, you know, but and now the new album cycle has made it, you know, even more. It's just, you know, I don't know, whatever. It's fine. I'm sure.
I feel like I think they're going to stay together forever because he seems impossible to write a song about. Like, what do you say about that guy? I feel like from what I've heard, very few of the songs are about him. They're all about Matty Healy because that's like a guy that
they didn't break
you write
up
songs
yet.
About because he's a freak. Yeah, but like a lot, like you know, she writes love songs too. They're not all breakup songs.
It's like your arms were strong around me,
right?
Look, they seem like nice guys. You know,
Eli Lex says their podcast is good.
Yeah,
I've only seen clips, but I will admit it is better than a lot of other people to start podcasts.
A betrayal.
They're charming. Hey. They're charming.
Right. It's look, like I said, it's fine. they're just kind of everywhere in a way that is kind of crazy to me. But again, everyone is capitalizing on it because like you post a story about either of them and you get 14 million Taylor Swift fans, you know, going to read whatever the latest is, see if there's some... Mm-hmm. You know, hidden message for them in there, or what? You know, I don't know. I'm not even going to make fun because those people terrify me. So
yeah,
it is like so strange. I feel like I feel like nothing in my lifetime has like approached this level of cultural saturation for like a celebrity, where it's like you're like a nation state now. Like you control these people in a way that like a government would. It's really strange. Yeah. I don't know, I don't like know what you do about it.
She's like a music industry hegemony as well. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah. But I mean, and look, I like music's fine. I like the music.
You it's know fine.
I
mean? Like, yeah.
Not,
I have no,
you know, that's not, that has nothing
she's
to do with this.
She's a good songwriter. It's not my thing, but like the power of that as like a demographic is like crazy.
Like
maybe
is,
Disney, yeah. Disney is like similar, but like as one person, well, I think feel like there's nothing like that.
The way the ability of them all to find and yell at you is been really, because I'm trying to think, like, it's funny because everyone's like, why do we keep hearing about it? It's like, it is a legitimate, like, big, I'm trying to think of, like, for some reason, I'm thinking of like Dennis Rodman and Madonna. Were they dating? It's like, that was a big item. Like,
yeah.
This is a legitimate star in music.
Yeah, but we didn't get
Hall
the
of Fame
I need
athlete.
I need to know what's going on. What I need to know what her boyfriend's teammate's wife posted on Instagram stories. Okay, oh, yeah. I need to know what's going on. That is a headline I need to read. I need to know what's going on with that. That kind of thing was not going on. Obviously, forget about social media, but like there wasn't that level of kind of deep divey celebrity gossip, I feel like, you know, in the '90s. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, and like
but.
I don't even know if like Madonna was as like big as Taylor Swift is now in terms of like absolute cultural power. Like at least it seems like that. Although I don't know. I also don't think Taylor Swift is necessarily as popular outside America as like
I think there was kind of less because it's the same way that like people like 15 million people watched some show that nobody ever heard of. It's there wasn't like. And not so much in the '90s, maybe, but like there was less stuff to kind of focus on. You
true.
Know? So
I
think sort of by you know,
by default,
you know, Madonna, I mean, Madonna's Madonna, right? I mean, there's, you know, I don't know what else to really, but I mean, it's, yeah. Anyway, Kelce Brothers, keep it up, guys. start a Patreon. Congrats on all your success in the podcasting world.
Let me tell you, it's not going to stop. They're both going to have media deals as soon as they retire.
They should start a podcast network, and they should each have multiple shows.
I'm sure
well.
They're not far off. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope some hardworking garbage man finds his ring.
Yeah.
And, gets a nice payday out of it.
He says they put in an insurance claim, which I imagine will be rejected because they were like, "Yeah, we don't cover you throwing in on a big thing of chili and then not." Yeah,
this is a real Kath Barbadoro problem.
Yeah, threw away my Super Bowl ring.
It depends on the policy. Like, I pay for the insurance, you replace the ring. It doesn't matter how it gets lost. Like that, to a certain extent. Like what you know what I mean? Like, you know, like I don't know. I don't know if that's true. That's you know, but.
Pitching it is sidearming it into the ocean for fun. Pay up.
Yeah.
Give me a new one.
I have a friend who I will not name who has lost multiple. He has bought and lost several wedding rings in the ocean.
Oh, my God. Like,
bought buddy, them in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. He bought them in the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those swim up ring shops.
He bought them from the... Right, it's crafted by the crab artisans.
They came out of a pirate ship chest, and then the
Atlantis's finest jeweler.
Yeah.
Also, buddy, get your ring size measured because it's wrong. Whatever you think your ring size is not right.
Blasting off your finger with when a wave hits it.
Oh man!
I got it wet. It's gone again. It's gone.
You know, I like to have
it's made
it loose.
Of paper. I should have mentioned it was made of paper. It just dissolved.
These tissue paper rings just don't last.
I got to stop doing karate in the ocean. My ring keeps flying off. Heihachi's firing wedding ring into the ocean. Heihachi getting divorced and throwing his wedding ring off a cliff. Anyways,
that's cool.
Keep moving.
Number four.
We got a sports block today.
Huh?
So we got a bit of a sports block today.
We do.
Number four comes to us from NC Hammer in the Discord. And it's a story about a large man who got killed by John Wick, I believe in like a library fight scene. I can't remember.
Yes.
I think it was in John Wick 3.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be quiet in there.
I think it might have been two, but yeah.
Might have been two. There. Okay. Yeah. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it was like right at the beginning. That's why I think it was three. Because two, yes. He's like, two is like Peter Stormare kind of doing all the exposition while he kills everyone in that garage to get his car back.
Actually, I think it might have been three because I thought the most recent one was three, but it's four. Anyway. He gets killed in a library for sure.
This is a story about Boban Marjanovic, and he plays for the Rockets in the NBA as a tall man.
Did you look up the pronunciation?
That was what I got. Boban Marjanovic. Okay. Excuse me. So get off my case, everybody. I listen to something on YouTube. Please do not get on my case, Boban. You're very large. The Clippers are playing. He plays for the Rockets, and they're playing the Clippers. And they were in the fourth quarter. Apparently, the Clippers have a promotion going that if certain conditions happen in the game, fans get free food. I guess they get like a voucher or something. And one of those things is if a player on the visiting team misses two consecutive free throws in the fourth quarter, everyone gets a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. And
tight.
Lo and behold, they get to the fourth quarter. The game is mostly in hand. I don't think it was like a total blowout or anything. I think they were up like a high single digits or whatever. But he missed the first free throw. And people start chanting something, and there's clips that were floating around on X, the Everything app, about people were chanting, and he's sort of looking around and nodding, and then pointing at himself, and it appears they were chanting something like "free chicken" or "miss it" or something, something to give him a sense that it's like it's not just they want you to miss because they want you to miss. Like there's a goal here.
Yeah, there's chicken.
That
is,
there needs to be some kind of signal worked out in the future for this kind of thing.
Because of course they want you to miss, right? And meanwhile, the Chick-fil-A reps are like, "Oh God, oh no,
oh no,
we're sunk." But they have the so he gets the ball for the second free throw, and he basically looks like he tanks it. He pulls it back. It's kind of like a very light touch. And it bounces off the front of the rim, and then the announcers in the game go wild. It's like, he gave him all free chicken. He's a man of the people. And that's the kind of point shaving that I think we can all agree with in an NBA game.
I didn't even think about that.
If there's like gambling going on relating to it. Now there might be some guy who bet the over under and everyone gets free chicken and he loses his house or whatever.
Right.
And then tweets death threats at Boban.
He gets to enjoy a Chick-fil-A sandwich wearing his barrel with suspenders while he eats it.
Yeah.
That assumes he's at the game. If he's not at the game, he doesn't get shit.
He's at the game and his clothes are part of the steak. Very weird that he was able to do that on FanDuel. But
all I have left are my heart my boxers with hearts on them.
They repo
his t-shirt. It's a big problem.
It's a good addition. It's good that like the NBA official partner of Bet Whatever the Fuck has had to hire additional security because people are bringing crossbows to the game.
Setting all that aside, there was the guy they just banned for life because he was like straight up like he like faked being injured so he wouldn't hit a certain amount of points
so
scored and
it.
Stuff. It's like crazy.
Did you hear about this?
What happened? No.
This guy would tell people, Jontae Porter, I think.
A player? Who?
Yeah.
This is a player in the NBA.
Yeah. And I think
in
he
the
would tell
NBA.
People, yeah.
Okay.
And he'd tell people, he'd go, hey, bet on my under, bet that I won't get X points. And then he would play like, he didn't even try. Some of them didn't he play like 30 seconds and he was like, I'm hurt. And he would sit down. And they'd be like, he wouldn't play the rest of the game. And I didn't think it even worked because I think they froze all those bets because like the bet people were like, "What the fuck is going on?"
There was a guy who said he disclosed. Yeah, he said something about his health status, like when he's coming back from injury or something, or that he was injured or whatever, to somebody who was known to be a sports bettor, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing. It's hard to even know that now because anybody could be a sports bettor if they're over 18 or whatever.
If they have a phone.
Because they get a fucking ad for it every 15 seconds every time they watch everything, any sport, whether in game or in the commercial breaks. And Yeah, some guy bet $80,000 on a parlay that this guy would not do certain things. And this guy is like basically a nobody. So like that is a huge flag. You know, like, okay, what does this guy fucking know?
$5 on that guy should have raised eyebrows.
Right. Shelby, the resident degenerate here, knows. Yeah, exactly. Like the idea that you're putting that kind of money on that guy, unless you're like a billionaire. Yeah. Whoa. Right.
Fraud department, we got an $80,000 bet parlay was centered around Jontay Porter coming on the pipeline. We're going to yank the big lever.
Yeah. And then he took himself out of the game due to illness.
That's the best part is illness.
Oh, my tummy hurts.
Cuz the guy bet the under. And like the guy didn't get paid out cuz he's a greedy pig and idiot who like should not have done that. Even like $5,000 cuz he would have made the guy would have made $1.1 million. So like he could have like, you know, like it's more than 10 times what you put in.
Right. You know? Right.
So put so in yeah, $5,000. If you even put it's in still a couple a hundred. Good score, you know, right. Like, this isn't like your, yeah. Oh man, this is my one chance. You know, maybe, well, if this guy's going to cooperate with you, but yeah, they didn't pay out the bet. The sports book was like, hey, something weird happened here. And obviously they were fucking thrilled to not pay out $1 million to this guy. So of course they're going to cooperate. So,
but I
anyway.
Love that. I love that it was so illness. Like, come on, man. Right. At least, like, pretend to roll your ankle or something. It's right. so funny to just right. go to the sideline and be
do
like,
do a pratfall
sick.
Or something. Isn't that, like, half of basketball now is people dramatically falling down? Yeah, like, flopping. Can't you even do that?
I got a coach. I got to say, I got an earache. I got something going on.
Right. Yeah. I got a little tickle in my throat. Pull me out.
I got water in my ear. It's horrible. I can't play like this.
You got those big bandages.
Going
like
on the
head?
IR for swimmer's ear. That's what I have.
Yeah. the pug.
Yeah. So pug that's a. So that's but anyway, this is not that. This is fun, and there's no indication there's any kind of like, you know, nefarious gambling implications right. other than just giving these people chicken, and they won the game, so like no harm, no foul, except for the guy who bet the over or whatever and is ruined. You know,
this
which,
is like
know.
Awesome too, because like Chick-fil-A is notoriously you know homophobic kind of retrograde organization, cost them money. And also allows everyone to have their delicious chicken sandwich guilt-free, you know?
Right.
Because, like, that's conference. The whole thing is, like, man, their chicken's really good, but I know I'm not supposed to eat it. And now everybody gets one, and it's on them, and they lose money. It's a perfect, perfect situation.
It's like, before we give you, it actually says on the voucher, before you accept the chicken, you have to say that you think they're good on social media. Yeah. So that's the.
Before
that's the
you accept the chicken, you have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. That's part of it.
It's like, this seems like a big. This is a pretty big condition beyond just the free throws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure. Kind of a bait and switch here.
We're like so lucky that Christianity doesn't have like a shahada, or the psychos in this country would be making people say it before they like. You pay for your gas. Like, it would be, there would be parts of the country you just, like, couldn't go
Pledge
to.
Pledge allegiance.
Yeah. One of those. Man. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure in actual, I wonder how much money they actually lose, just like the overhead, but.
For a stadium full of chicken sandwiches?
They write it off as promotion. Not everyone collects them.
Yeah, it's an ad.
You know, it's not clear how long it's good for. I mean, did you ever go to games in D.C., Eli, where they had the, like,
ooh, they shot the burritos.
The parachuting burritos from Chipotle.
Yes.
And that was like, especially
as a child who did not like basketball but was a little fat. Ooh, I love the falling burritos.
Yeah, they would shoot, they would like thunk out of this thing and there would just be like a parachute and the burrito would just kind of float down into the
crowd. Yeah. When,
it kind of felt mean.
When I lived in Austin, there was a music festival called Fun 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 Fest and they had a taco cannon. Similar concept.
Oh, how does that hold together? I guess they're wrapped up.
It was like wrapped in foil. You know?
Yeah, it's messed up. They were.
It wasn't
hard
just
tacos.
A loose taco.
Yeah, well, that's
just,
why
just I'm firing just a out shotgun cheese blast and shredded of lettuce and shards of taco shell.
Basically,
well, who even wants this?
I got hit by taco shell shrapnel, injured.
Yeah, shredded cheese this. Lodged in my face, like when fucking Dick Cheney shot that guy. Yeah. Well, I've always said I've mentioned many times, but you know, once again, my favorite promotion backfire was the Michigan steakhouse that was like, you can have X percent off, where X is the amount Michigan wins by this weekend. And then they won 72-0, and the steakhouse had to be like, we cannot do this. We're sorry.
We'll you got to put a max on that when you set that promotion.
It's a vertical line. It's infinite. It doesn't make sense. We have to give you all of our money. If you really were taking this to
a
conclusion.
They win by 110 points. We will pay you to eat here. Enjoy.
Take that, Ruth's Chris. Choose a name.
Yeah, it's like how they say don't trust somebody with the two with a first name and a last name that are both first names. That's why you can't go to Ruth's Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Two it's first names, untrustworthy.
And if there's a third name in there, they're probably a serial killer. So think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Anybody with a middle name is suspect.
Yep,
you're on notice.
Number three.
Yeah. Number three.
Number three, this story comes to us from Shelby. In I don't think he's in the Discord, so Shelby not in the Discord.
Not in the Discord. The final portion of our sports block, the story. Yes.
And this is, some people might have seen the video of this. There is currently an FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, investigation because... There's after a, it says here, after a video emerged of a Rockies coach sitting in an unauthorized section of the plane. The unauthorized.
Hate to have a video emerge of me.
Yeah. Don't want to. When a video emerges, it's never like video emerges of man curing leprosy. It's always like pretty bad.
Yeah. The only time you want a video to emerge is if you're like on trial for something and it's an exonerating video. Like it's like that's about the only time I can think of.
It's a video.
It shows
of
you
me.
Not doing it.
Yeah, it's a video of my alibi catching one of the blimp burritos at the MCI Center. I couldn't have been there, Your Honor. I was.
They pulled the Jumbotron footage.
Just a really embarrassing Jumbotron footage clearing you of a murder.
there was a guy
being rejected on the Kiss Cam.
Yeah,
alibi for a murder.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, there was a guy acquitted of committing some crime because he was in the background of an episode of Curb at Dodger Stadium. True.
That's awesome.
There's also that basketball card with the Menendez brothers in the background. That's weird.
That
not
was
exonerating.
That Curb thing was a murder rap. That guy was wow. That's crazy.
Holy
great
shit.
Great extra work. Good reason to do extra work, you know. Get some crafty, get exonerated for murder. So the unauthorized section of the plane that they're talking about is the captain's chair in the cockpit.
He wasn't hiding in one of the luggage overhead bins. That wasn't the unauthorized area where he was.
He wasn't in
it
steerage.
It was the cockpit.
He was down in avionics like Jodie Foster in that one movie. I can't remember.
Yeah. He was down in the chain room. What was
Flight plan.
He was hanging out in the in one of the coffins where they keep the dead people that are on every plane.
He was on the Demeter. There. He was in an unauthorized section of the Demeter. He was in Dracula's coffin.
Get him out of here.
Get out of here.
You're in my spot.
Get him out.
They let the Rockies coach steer the Demeter as a reward.
Yeah, crashing it into the shore. Just
bye bye, darling. Bye bye. Say bye bye.
He's right behind me, isn't he? they did this. Stupid to do this. I mean, I understand that it's all on autopilot or whatever. Still very close to the buttons. Kind of feel like this guy maybe not completely sober. Who knows? I'm not making any accusations here. But that seems like how you get into a cockpit celebrating after a win.
Hello? Banging on the door. Yeah, drunk.
Is anyone in there?
And the best way to get in the cockpit is to rush it as well.
They love that.
Yeah. You know, see how fast you can get up there. A little impromptu race.
It's like converting to Judaism. You get denied from the cockpit three times and then they let you in. You just have to wait.
Is that a legend or is that real? I think we're looking for people these days. You can just go right in.
I know there's a process, but I don't know if it actually involves that. But
yeah, you have to, and then you have to go through your mother's bloodline. A lot of stuff going on. So they went to the cockpit. Not advisable. Really, the real thing is like they videoed it, and the pilots weren't like, hey, turn off your phone and you're out of here. Like, instead, they were like, get in the chair. And so there's a video of this guy sitting in the captain's chair in the cockpit. The guy just straight up posted it. Had some fun in the cockpit on our flight from Denver to Toronto. Thanks to the captain and the first officer of our United Charter that allowed me this great experience. So I guess at least it was a charter. I mean, this is a pretty low bar. So there wasn't like a bunch of people on the plane being like, hey, what are they doing up there?
I feel if you're a pilot, you like it's really bad PR to I think people already think they don't do anything. So like, don't confirm that suspicion that people have that it's like your job is easy, because I don't think it is easy. I think, you know, the landing and the taking off and all of that stuff, like it, I don't think it is. But like, don't film a drunk guy like doing your job. I think that's just general advice. Don't film a drunk guy performing your job adequately. It will not help you.
Well, I think
he could be asleep.
Yeah. I think it's also one of those things, like, not exactly the same, but it's like saying a security guard does nothing. And it's like, well, they do nothing until they have to do something really badly. Like, until, you know, until suddenly they have to do a lot.
And I will say also, just from a, you know, baseball historic perspective, not a good track record of Yankees flying planes. So, you know, you don't want to put this Bam Bam Mullins, who's the guy who was in the cockpit. He was on the Yankees from 89 to 93. He also was a Yankees coach, I believe, in 2022. So, you know, you got not a good history of Yankees flying.
Did the
planes,
Yankees crash a plane? What did they do?
Thurman Munson famously died in a plane
Munster
crash.
Of the Munster family?
Munson. Okay, disrespectful.
Thurman
here.
Munster.
Don't let a Frankenstein fly the plane.
Don't let a Frankenstein fly the plane. And then Corey Lytle in 2006 crashed a plane into a building on the Upper East Side.
I'm realizing he's dead, and I'm taking back calling him part of the Munster family.
Yeah.
By the way, I would like to correct myself. I was actually thinking of a biblical verse when I was thinking of the Judaism thing. That's not conversion to Judaism. My bad. My bad.
Kath's Talmud revoked. Get back your Torah.
Are you thinking about like being denied three times before the cock crows? Is that what you're talking
about? I think that's what I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard a thing of like you have to ask a couple times.
I think it's a couple times. I don't think it's three, because that's the verse in Luke that I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually not a religious thing. It's just annoying to do that. If you just walk and you're like, I want to be Jewish, they're just people just get naturally turned away, because like, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm on to you. And they're like, no, you're just being weird. Get out of here.
I didn't realize there was a crash on the Upper East Side. There was one in Park Slope too. Like, there have been a couple plane crashes into buildings in densely populated parts of New York City.
Yeah, a couple.
Maybe a cracked article would be good. That pretty nuts.
Yeah, writing an article: famous plane crashes in densely populated parts of New York City.
No,
number
just
one.
Like there's like there was one on the Rockaways. There was one on Park Slope. I don't know.
Yeah, other ones, Kath? Anything else you're thinking about?
And number one on our list.
Jesus. this one was like
the pitch meeting. Hey, I just heard about this thing.
No, it was like on 72nd Street, and it was in like 2006. So it was like, you know, like not that long after the big one that everyone was like, hey, what's that plane doing all the time whenever a plane seems low? So,
if it were a mere 10 years later, that's where we used to record. We would have gotten a plane smashed into us.
Yeah.
Citarella down. Taking out the end of the world movie poster that we walk by every day.
The world's end. Excuse me.
Yeah, please. The world's end. Sorry for not remembering the title precisely.
Bob Balaban diving out of the way.
Yeah, Ice-T and Coco taking their kids to see the Wiggles, running for cover. What a hotspot for a weird celebrity sightings that area is.
We'll go see the Wiggles.
Imagine being in the Wiggles and performing and looking out into the audience, and it's Ice-T and Coco.
Yeah. Just like, staring back at you with his like ponytail.
The Wiggles.
That's such a good.
Yeah.
Play the song.
I don't know why it's like Mike Tyson-y, but, you know, he's got the... Ice T, we love him, folks. Yeah, so as you might imagine from this, the FAA, the pilots have been suspended, which sucks, because I think that's a pretty hard job to get, and it's pretty cushy once you do get it, so I would just not fuck with it if I had it.
Yeah, and it was a charter flight, too, which I think is probably, like, the sickest way to be a pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, like... You probably felt a little bit more pressure given that it's a charter flight to be like, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, you know,
right,
like, you know, all right, yeah,
I guess you can sit in the chair. Yeah.
I also feel like,
hey,
maybe
don't post it on Instagram or whatever, though.
Yeah. I feel like a charter flight might be more annoying where it's like, if you got assigned to like a VIP table as like a server or whatever, where it's like, there's less people you have to worry about, but they're probably worse people. Like, they're probably more annoying, you know?
More
like,
demanding,
more,
yeah.
Bullshit. Yeah. Like this, where it's like, if you were on a regular flight and someone walked towards the cockpit fast, they would be, four air marshals would jump out of their seats.
The yeah. most tackled any human being has ever been.
The most tackled, yeah. Man, what a miscalculation that would be. Somebody trying to, not realizing they're on an NFL team's charter flight and then trying to storm the cockpit, just getting pulped by like three linebackers. Be like that. Oh, yeah. Giving a Congressional Medal of Honor to Bobby Wagner, who split a guy in half that was trying to get into the cockpit. Anyways, sports block. We're getting too sportsy, even for the block.
Yeah. Soda!
But yeah, this is they're not happy about it. The FAA is doing an investigation. Feels like the investigation is probably pretty much over. I think I've done enough investigating
mystery
to know what happened.
Solved.
Here. Yeah, they said we do not comment on the details of open investigations. No comment needed. I think we know what happened.
We hired a law firm that's billing out at $1,500 an hour to do 10,000 hours of interviews with everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. So they're in trouble.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two comes to us from, and forgive me, I lost the tab. Where is the tab? Oh, my God.
It's you, I think. This came from you.
It did come from me, right? No, I know. Yeah, okay. Number two comes to us from me. And it's a story about a couple that moved into a new home in, I guess it's just in London. Vicar's Court, London, of course.
A likely place for someone to live in London.
It sounds like it could be a show that you would see. It would have one of the 14 British actors that exist in it.
Yeah.
And
it would be something. Vicar's Court is definitely like a show from like the late 80s that you used to watch on PBS. And then you go back to rewatch it and you realize everyone in it hates trans people, so you can't enjoy it anymore. That's what Vicar's Court is.
Vicar's Court. I feel like it's somewhere you'd see a lot of people like prancing in jodhpurs. You'd have to get special admission to the Vicar's Court. You got to have, you know, some sort of dukeship to get in
Call
there.
Call the vicar. So,
who is that?
I don't know.
Who's just joined us on the podcast?
Yeah. We're doing vision. Character work now.
Yeah, a character fully brought to life. So yeah, they moved into this house. It's as many things in London are. It's old as fuck. It's a big house, 12 rooms, multiple beds. These people are doing well, whoever they are. Cybersecurity worker and salon owner. Okay, but it's a 700-year-old home. And
welcome to the cyber salon.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Metal hair for you.
Yeah, he styles Second Life avatars. That's the Cyber Salon.
Cyber Salon is definitely a 90s thing where they would have like a big-ass monitor you could sit in front of while someone did your hair somehow to like read CompuServe posts or whatever.
They make your hair really spiky. You get Tekken hair at the Cyber Salon.
That's cool.
Yeah, getting a cloud strafe at the Cyber Salon, dude. Hell yeah.
Looked at, you know, they're still like kind of unpacking and stuff, and they haven't really, yeah, this is quite a sentence to be able to be written about you. Due to the mansion's size and their recent move, the couple hadn't had a chance to explore their home thoroughly until then. Okay, well, the problem I hope to have at some point.
I don't have time to look at the house I'm buying.
I haven't even been in all the rooms yet. It's been a month. This place is so big, and I'm just unpacking. It's crazy.
How many? I mean, 12 rooms. Like, I guess you just have a lot of bedrooms, but it's like, how many different types of rooms can you have? You got a dining room, living room, kitchen,
ball pit.
What else is there?
You just padded out with
ball
bathrooms.
Pit, study. I guess you just start having clue rooms at that point.
Yeah. I think Buckingham Palace has like 755 rooms. It's just
what
like,
are they doing in there?
Yeah. I got a little, there's got to be like a guy locked in one of them somewhere.
Like, yeah. He's forgot.
Yeah.
He's lost. He's stuck in there.
So yeah, this is in, like I said, Vicar's Court. It's believed to be the home of a former vicar. But they went up to, I guess the husband was cleaning the bathroom and there's like a panel above where the toilet is, and the bathroom looks like a very modern bathroom, but there's this kind of like ledge below the window. It's not a windowsill. It's like a kind of a weird little storage area. They have two plants on it.
Yeah.
And he noticed it was loose and lifted up the panel, and there's like a damn like medieval goblin looking guy with a hole for a mouth and a, like a, you know, demonic little face. And, the post describes it as looked like something that would adorn the door of Dracula's castle. I'm not sure about that, but
is it like a drain? It looks like some kind of drain.
So that is
it's a piss hungry goblin is what it is.
Well, it's a piss hungry goblin.
Yes,
hoping to get to the bottom of the toilet goblin. He and his wife asked social media. People said it was this, as many will say on social media, probably on X, the Everything app. Many declared the sculpture was evidence of cult activity. I'm sure,
of course, yep.
But yeah, this is the people who've been gang stalking me.
They put this in here.
Yeah, this is from Ashley Biden's diary or something. Whatever, normal people.
Yeah.
So they ended up speaking to the people that. Lincoln Cathedral apparently owns kind of like a lot of the area, which I guess is a, you know, just a big parish or whatever the equivalent is for the Anglican Church. And there's a lot of like goblin and imp carvings kind of on Lincoln Cathedral, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they called in the imp experts. Like, what's up with this imp? Like, you know, explain this imp to me.
Impologists. Yeah.
Yeah. The, you know, the Oxford imp professor. Is there?
Oh, yeah. Well, those are so real, though. Like, Oxford always has, you're watching some YouTube video and someone is like chief imp knowledge at Oxford College. They have like the oldest possible majors and shit.
Right. What people have been studying imps there for 400 years.
What a life. What a life.
Yeah. What a life.
Yeah.
So they got this toilet situation and they asked Lincoln Cathedral and they said it's part of a drainage system. It's a grotesque mask that forms the drain. So in a way, he is a piss-hungry little goblin. Now,
in our own way, aren't we all?
I don't know, you know, that you'd want to piss in there because it's not clear where the drainage system goes. I assume it's just like into the wall, which is not where you want piss to go without anyone else to go.
Well, go down there.
It would have been for a vicar, apparently. So this is like a priest bathroom. So I guess it's like their
the
way
vicar's
of like,
piss.
Take that.
I'm hungry for the vicar's piss.
Take that, the devil, you know?
Maybe you're supposed to piss on him because he's evil.
Hey, come on. I'm already down. Come on. Mm. What the hell?
A brand of holy water I was not expecting. The Speaking piss like, of a priest.
It's like, is this piss? Oh, is that piss? What, come on.
Every time, it's always piss.
I'm sealing your bedroom against wayward spirits with a few drops of vicar's piss. Finding bottles of vicar's piss in the walls every time they destroy an old home.
Speaking of the walls, so they find it suspicious that it was concealed. Okay. He suspected the previous occupant had known about this because they'd lived there for 20 years, but they're not saying anything about it. But they think that the whole, like, the house has like a hollow wall, like in general, the whole, like the entire house. So they're almost certain there's more wacky stuff in there, but they can't just like, they don't own the house, like that, you know, I guess they rent the house. I don't really know, but they can't just like rip all the walls out to see what's going on in there. So they're just going to have to live knowing there's weird stuff creeping around in there. Little faces.
I think that's probably true if you live in like a lot of Europe where it's just like if you live in, because there's so many old, like really old buildings, you just have to assume there's weird stuff in your walls.
Yeah. There's something there's like a face looking at you from behind your wall. if you live
in
Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah. I also think looking at the picture of this, like, of course they're going to say it's a drainage system, especially being British, but like, it is an open mouth little goblin at the end of what is like a long horizontal kind of trough. This is a urinal. Like, I think it is a urinal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's like what they, I think they're okay with that. They just won't say it. I think that is the implication here.
Yeah. It's like those little bathrooms they had in castles that were just like, just fell outside the walls. It was just like a little outcropping, and then you would just shit outside your castle. Cool
that,
stuff.
That was very surprising to me when I was in India and we were on the trains. The trains had bathrooms, and it was you pissing and shitting onto train tracks as you were moving. Yeah. It was just like, oh, there it goes.
Yeah.
It's like sort of what people think airplane bathrooms are, but it was like, nope, you can fully see the tracks underneath you moving while you
don't want to ricochet.
Hover over a hole. Yeah.
Ricochet right back up. No good.
Well, thankfully you're moving, so it's just like we're leaving it behind. There's just, you know.
Let's go. I guess they forgot to reattach the storage tank on this. Like, storage tank.
Yeah. For what?
This is really funny because, like, the picture, it's just like an interesting, like, wow, what changes in culture over time? There's the piss goblin, and the woman who's renting the house is showing it, and then they have a framed picture next to it in their bathroom that just says, "Are you pooping?" And there's a bunch of cats looking at you.
Yeah. It's just, arguably grosser than the little piss goblin.
It's some real, like, we were talking a little bit before we got on mic, before we started recording, and Kath was like, "Yeah, it's true." In a lot of houses, like the bathroom is like where all bets are off on the decoration. It's like like crazy.
Right.
Like they just
you
like,
can
they'll
go
put anything
so
up in
nuts.
There.
Mm-hmm. Like people, I feel like even people who are like very the rest of their house will be like a lot of like neutral tones and everything, and then you go into the bathroom and it's like, why is this like a line for an amusement park ride? Like, that's how this is decorated. Like,
why am I shitting in a clown's mouth now? What is happening?
right. Also, why is it always the beach? What about the beach?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never understood the connection of seashells to the bathroom, but people love fucking seashells.
Water, I guess? It's the room with the water in it, I suppose?
Yeah. My house growing up had a downstairs bathroom was beach bathroom for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We did not live at the beach. It's just, it feels... I think it like feels fresh in a way or something. It's like has some psychological effect, maybe. You know? It's that's an interesting question. But it, you know, it's like anything else,
a little slice of heaven when you're crapping.
Yeah.
But
you can just get real wild with it. You can just that's where all your like loud wallpaper goes.
Like other rooms like don't, and it's because it's smaller too. Like other rooms don't have
that's
like
true.
Don't necessarily have a cohesive theme. They're just a room. But like a bathroom can just be like this bathroom is like a I don't know, like a British telephone call box or something for some reason.
You're crapping in a TARDIS.
I mean, I guess it's true because like you're not gonna get sick of it because you don't like spend a lot of time in there as opposed to like
speak
if
for
you
yourself.
Go in a really strong
Yeah, my legs are falling asleep. What are you doing?
Pre-phones, we didn't spend a lot of time
I
there.
Routinely pulling the towel rack off the wall because you can't stand after sitting for 2 hours.
Structurally
you're just bracing
weak.
Yourself from the force of your shitting. Yeah. You rip the towel rack off the wall.
Looks like I tried to freehand hang a fucking picture next to my toilet. There's holes everywhere. Just got a laser level on next to the toilet for when I inevitably have to put the towel rack back
God
up.
Damn it.
Also very funny to have
calling the drywall guy again. Like, okay. You know what happened. Just get over here.
Having one of those industrial like made out of cast iron pipes, so it's like not for looks. It's just like that. I need it to support me because
it's for bracing purposes. Yeah. Yeah.
Putting in a non-functional
landlord
hot pipe.
Ignoring your texts about towel rack replacement.
Had enough. My mom is visiting right now. You're just saying a hot pipe. She was telling me the last time she was here, she burned herself so bad on the hot pipe that she like had to go to the dermatologist like a few weeks later, and they were like, "What happened?" And she had to be like,
"Hot pipe
injury."
HPI. Sorry.
Yeah.
That
I think it would be.
You install you don't live in the city, but you install a non-functional hot pipe for grabbing.
Yes.
You know, that's what, yeah, that's what, yeah, you got to put in. You just get it in
but
there.
But then it's like, if you live in New York, you instinctually don't grab it, and then you ruin the towel rack anyway, because you, yeah, think it's going to be hot.
Ruin the towel. Sorry, I ruined your towel rack. More ways than one. I think also
you,
be
you
funny.
Really should secure that thing. It's like, what are you doing? Is it what, yeah, putting all your weight on it?
I think this would be technologically difficult, but I think it would be a funny prank thing to own, because they got those plants in the bathroom. If you could somehow make a prank fake plant in the bathroom that dies every time somebody uses it, so some guest is in there.
A flower that wilts when the toilet, yeah, flushes. Yeah, yeah, that'd God. Be good.
What did I do? Yeah. No, it's, I mean, yeah, I can, it's true. I could theme up my bathroom with really just one thing, because it's quite small, you know? But
what do I have in my bathroom?
Tekken poster.
What kind of my Tekken theme? Why don't you drop your quote unquote son off the cliff in here? Be right back, fellas. Gotta go throw my son off the cliff. You know what I mean?
Good euphemism.
Yeah.
Throw my son off the cliff. What? I'm shitting. I mean, I'm shitting.
Yeah, I'm taking your
it's
shit.
Fine, it's
trying
fine.
To get it to catch on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotta go fight Eddie Turdo in the bathroom. Excuse me. yeah. I don't, the fun, this is a horrible poster, really, I think.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't care for that.
Detail about this article that I would guess from what I know of how the websites work, that they definitely, because the title on the URL is, couple make it's like a pun with grotesque, because they used to call them grotesques. Couple make grotesque discovery. And then they clearly were like, this is the New York Post. Nobody knows what that fucking means. So they changed the title to, we made a freaky discovery.
Like, freaky. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's great. Also, I love how they get this guy to say, the special discovery happened by accident after Rory reportedly begrudgingly went to clean the bathroom at his wife's behest. It's like... All right. Ugh,
the old ball and chain,
yeah,
making me not have my shit room be disgusting.
Yeah.
How dare she?
She hadn't nagged me, we never would have found this thing.
Yeah. I mean, you said disclose it. I also don't know how you disclose this. Choosing the right energy with which to show someone would be interesting.
Yeah, there's like a...
Yeah, like when you're selling the house, is this how far into the conversation does this come up?
Yeah. You know? You can just do like a check this out, but...
I think it's a cool feature. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
There's a goblin in the bathroom. There's a goblin in there. Just so you know, it's a goblin.
Yeah, don't look in there. Don't open it up. He's hungry.
He's on the wing of the plane. Mm-hmm. There he is.
Yep, the wing of the bathroom. Well,
number one.
And this week's number one reason to say, what a time to be alive.
Number one this week comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord. This is also a story from London. The Guardian is mad at me. Okay, there we go. Sad news. Mr. and Mrs. Williams, their names are. I don't know if we get first names. Couple, married for 21 years, separated in 2023. Not divorced, just separated. Working things out, trying to figure out, you know, the arrangements of what's going to happen, whether they're going to get divorced or not. But a solicitor in London has made that decision for them by accidentally clicking a button that divorced them.
It's over.
Yeah.
This is a problem anytime. I just feel like something like divorce, you should not have to go through an online portal, which is what the phrasing used in The Guardian is. They had to go through the portal, the My Divorce panel.
Seems like the judge should be the one that has to click the thing to, right?
Yeah.
I don't really understand that.
A lot of access. Also, almost guaranteed to be like the oldest website you've ever seen in your life. It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
but I'm sorry, sir. Your Honor, my Macromedia Flash is out of date and divorce these people.
That's how they make sure they still work, though. You know what I mean? Like, they make them really bare bones, because that way they won't go down. They don't require a lot. They don't, you know, I think that's part of that. But yes.
You have to download the divorce app and scan a QR code, and then you're...
Yeah, it's download divorced. The DVRC, divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she accidentally, I guess the thing is, she used the online portal to apply for divorce. It wasn't, I don't think, like an official confirmation, but I think then it went through, and yeah, so the so they submitted the application by accident, but then apparently they're very efficient with this because the divorce was granted within 20 minutes, like before they realized they'd done anything mistaken.
Judge being like, "Oh, let's knock some of these out," and it's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right, let's get my paperwork backlog down to zero."
Yeah.
And yeah, so they accidentally divorced them, and then they didn't realize for like 2 days, and they had to like rescind the thing. So I guess like basically what happened is they like the solicitor opened the wrong file or whatever, and you know, thought she was applying for divorce for another client.
Opened the wrong Dropbox folder, as Shelley put it earlier.
Yeah, accidentally exactly. Opened,
oh, this is Williams.marriage? Oh no.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. So these people accidentally were divorced, and then they had to like do a bunch of paperwork to get back together, which also sucks because like they are going to get divorced. They're just not ready to get divorced right now because they're still like figuring stuff out. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
What a pain.
Maybe
accidentally
just call
divorced.
It.
There's an argument like, that can be made. It's like, this is the universe telling us. Yeah. But, mm-hmm. But who knows?
Yeah. There's also.
Well, I think they were planning to. It was just that they still had to figure out the terms of the like financial stuff and everything.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do it too soon. But yeah. Also, another wrinkle in this is that the woman who did this is like an extremely high-powered divorce lawyer, like a very expensive. The Guardian calls her the diva of divorce, which like you really want a reality show if that's what you're calling yourself.
Yeah. Oh, you
want
especially
a divorce
want
reality show
when it's preceded by their very the self-styled diva of divorce. Just
yes.
Them clearly
yeah,
being
yeah.
Like she calls herself this, not us.
Yeah, this is not us. This is not us.
I do. The judge here is like doing this thing where it's like there's a strong public policy interest in respecting the certainty and finality that flows from a final divorce order and maintaining the status quo that is. It's like, OK, but you're doing this because a website let them get someone like it feels
right.
Like you're counter, you know, it's like you're kind of hovering for it that you're like don't want people to think it is as easy as it is. But then he also,
you
I like
go
that
through
the judge,
a fucking portal and click a button. That's all it is.
Well,
that's
that was his other thing. He chewed these guys out. He laid them out on, in court because they were like, we hit the wrong button. And he apparently, or he or she apparently had a deep knowledge of the portal because they were like, then spent a bunch of time explaining that you can't just click a button. So he's like, you went through multiple pages.
Having deep knowledge of the portal used to be you were like the Oracle of Delphi, and now you're like an IT guy in London.
It's also unusual. The judge is the one who knows about the nuts and bolts, as opposed to being like, what? Whatever. You know, like, here it is. I don't know. I'll sign the paper. You know, like it's not. Yeah, not really their usually their purview to know the details. Although maybe they had like a clerk tell them kind of what the details are. So like, I need to yell at them. Mm. Give me something to yell at them about.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just pissed off at this particular firm already or something. Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's also, a lot of that's probably because like early internet people were nerds. So they're calling everything. They're like portals and like stuff like that. And we're like, all right. But I like
the amount of fucking portals I have to go through to do my day-to-day life.
It's
absurd.
It's, you know, you
barely work.
Sounded a lot cooler when it was like the 70s, you know, talking
about
that kind of stuff. Now it's like, oh, I
thought I was going to be, you know, accessing the Akashic Records or something, but it's just PDFs. It's just portals to PDFs.
Oh, it's a reminder about a doctor's appointment. Great. Thank you.
Maybe no bigger.
It's a mildly insulting doctor's note. That's what's on my chart.
Yeah, maybe no bigger discrepancy between how cool something sounds and how cool it is than the word daemon. Like, when you get an email from a daemon and you're like, oh my God.
It just means
proposing me a deal.
Why am I not being sent on a quest?
Calling my friends, telling them I'm about to be amazing at blues guitar. And then I'm like, oh, actually, I just sent something to the wrong email address.
We couldn't deliver your email.
Yeah.
Why do they call it that? Just because internet people were dorks back in the day?
I think, I don't remember exactly why. I'm going to check because I'm very interested now. Oh, well, no, it is a, okay, so it's I mean, the daemon is, it like we thought, in ancient Greek belief, it's a divinity or supernatural being of a nature between gods and humans, which does sound like some maybe nerd shit where they're like, it's the god of the internet and you.
Well, it's like you're praying and then the daemon comes and is like, sorry, we could not locate the recipient of your message.
Yeah. Okay.
Your prayer is going unanswered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Getting a mail or daemon message that says your prayer is going unanswered.
So yeah, this is exact. The term was coined by the programmers at MIT's Project Mac. According to Fernando J. Corbato, who worked on Project Mac in 1963, his team was the first to use the term daemon, inspired by Maxwell's demon, an imaginary agent in physics and thermodynamics, so double nerd shit, that helped to sort molecules. Mm. So it does come from that. Also, one more crazy fun fact that I didn't know that I found out this week. Do you know Yahoo is an acronym? The site Yahoo?
All right. Well, is this like how like every rapper's name is an acronym after they already came up with the name?
I don't think so, because it's so nerdy and stupid that it's it is a
lay it on us.
Oh yeah, I looked it up. I remember this. Yeah,
stands for yet another hierarchical or officious oracle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's some real Douglas Adams shit is what that is.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Which is not what, look, those books are fun, not a knock, you know, but sure. Just like dorky.
Yeah. Very good. I mean, built.
I think that's not, I like that there's some whimsy built into this stuff. There definitely used to be.
Now it's just, you know, choking out any usefulness and monetizing everything. So yeah, by comparison, sure. It was a wonderful time.
Yeah, like when
I like that there is, but yeah, I do wish, I do feel like I've been let down by what a portal is. It's just me like reporting sick time. That's what's happening in a portal.
Yeah.
It's me requesting vacation days. That's what's happening.
A portal to the healthcare system. How exciting. Do not go in
the Oracle for time off.
Yeah. Well, actually, the time reporting system they use at my job is called Kronos, which is also like very bad.
The god of time.
Yeah. The god of time. So I'm praying to Kronos that my discretionary day off is approved.
Snip the threads of fate on the days that you'll be out of office. Like,
I can't keep it the day after the 4th of July off, but I can devour my son.
Yeah, each of the days is a little sun, and then you kind of drag Kronos over there.
Mm-hmm. And he eats it, and then you lose 7 hours of vacation time. That's what happens.
They can, and then what's the one sun he didn't eat? They can mark certain days as Hercules, which you can't eat because they need you in office. it's all good. Honestly, yeah, I'm back around on this. I think it's fun. Better that, you know, at least there's a little whimsy involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to read my test results with medical jargon I don't understand.
Yeah. No, I need to read how the doctor is describing my affect. That's very important for me to know.
I'm big on getting blood work results and finding out that something is like abnormal, but it's actually fine, but it looks like it's like, oh, I'm going to die. My blood is going to explode. Great.
Yeah, you That's that classic good. You tested positive for it's like, and I mean, we're positive you don't have it. It's like, what is this, a fucking vaudeville routine? Do I have it or not? What is going on?
No, you tested positive, but that just means you got the vaccine at some point. It's like, okay, well, maybe we work on, okay, well, again, don't give it to me before you call me then.
Yeah.
You
know? How about the paper is green or red? How about that? How about you just give it to me and I know, you know?
They just hand you a paper with yes or no on it.
It's like a churrascaria, but for your health.
Yeah.
Will you live longer? Yes or no? If you want to keep living.
Yeah, it's like Bubba Gump. You put up the sign to say, keep on walking, you know? Great system. It's a bit more.
Wait, they have that at Bubba Gump? Is it Bubba Gump all you can eat? I guess I didn't know that.
Well, Bubba Gump has, I believe Bubba Gump has a sign that you can like flip up that says, and I think it is Forrest Gump theme. So it's like, keep walking. And it's like, we're having a discussion. We're hammering out a deal here at Bubba Gump. So don't interrupt these.
What does keep walking have to do with Forrest Gump?
Or running or whatever?
Keep running. Okay. Keep running.
You've never seen Forrest Gump, right? This is another
maybe
one.
Maybe when I was
missed.
A kid. I don't know.
You know
whatever.
That famous line in Forrest Gump where she says, keep walking, Forrest.
Might as well be, you know.
Walk, Chocolates. Forrest, walk.
Walk, Forrest. Walk on, Forrest.
Look, he's not running that fast, one could say.
Yes, he is. His braces bust off his legs because he's going so fast.
That's in the beginning. Then he slows down. keep a respectable pace. Down? Yeah, he's not sprinting.
He hauls ass. He's like one of those javelinas.
Oh my god.
That famous line from Forrest Gump, haul ass, Forrest. It's a beautiful moment. What a bad movie. That movie sucks.
One best picture instead of Pulp Fiction. So that's fun to think about.
That's so great. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I've never been to Bubba Gump. I would like to go. I'm listening to too much.
I like some shrimp.
I'm listening
You're just
to
putting that out into the universe?
Too much podcast. Yeah, I hope someone will take me. I
would love to go to Bubba Gump sometime. Never been.
Oh, golly. I listen to too much podcast The Ride, so I'm into checking out too many themed things. It's really damaging me a lot.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Oh, no. Was it? No. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was Pulp Fiction, right? Yeah, they won the screenplay, but they did not get Best Picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bubba Gump's fun. The shrimp who is on their poster is cool. He's wearing a hat.
He looks pretty cool, yeah. I agree with that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Well,
that's from Forrest Gump. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
The hat?
That's all I have to say about that. He says that, I believe, a few times.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was from Forrest Gump. So I was just pure chance, but I'll take
That's sort of how he ends one of the vignettes, you know, when he's sitting on the bench to the, you know, something sad happens or whatever. And then he says that's all he has to say about that. Like, I think after, like, he ends the Vietnam one. Anyway.
That movie is, like, so 1995 or whatever, because, like, it's like a heartfelt tearjerker movie that then shoehorns AIDS in to, like, make you even more sad in, like, a very just sort of out of nowhere way at the end. And you're like,
I had
landed on a little thick. 1995.
I had seen it before, but I distinctly remember watching it when I was laying on the couch waiting for my mom to come take me to the doctor after I broke my ankle at a friend's house. That is a classic Gump memory.
What did you do? tell us on the bonus.
We all have one.
I was playing. Okay, yeah. Well, listen on the bonus. Who knows what I was
this
doing?
Is
I was
a teaser.
I could have been playing anything.
End the show.
Yeah. Could have been playing anything. Let's do plugs.
Become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram @PattyMo. @KathBarbadoro and @EliUden. And check out Kat's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
Eli, plug your show.
Yeah. I'll say not this week, but next weekend, May 4th, 7:30 p.m. at Red Baron Inc. on 14th Street in Manhattan. I am hosting a new show called Sick Ass Panther. It's a fun comedy show. Kath is on it. We got a couple good comics. And then Allison Leiby, friend of the show, is going to be doing a long set there. You can buy tickets. You can just go to my Instagram, Chili's Restaurants. And there's a link in the bio to the tickets there. And maybe we can put the link in this description if Shelby so allows.
If Shelby wills it.
Yeah.
If Shelby wills it.
It's like the crusade. Yeah. Shelby wills it.
Yeah. This is our crusades. That's probably not a good thing to say.
Yeah, come to Eli's show. I'm going to be on that. It's the day after my birthday, so you can celebrate my birthday by coming to that. You could also celebrate my birthday by coming to my show, which is on my birthday, May 3rd. Paid protest. We're doing another one. Silo, 7:30. It's gonna be a good show. We got a bunch of great people on it. So yeah, come to that May 3rd, 7:30 Silo. It's a Friday. And I think that's all I have to plug.
Come see me doing wedding catering stuff next weekend. Check it out.
Well, Bubba Gump is maybe available.
Oh, that wow. We're making a last minute substitute, which is not allowed and not permitted. They're bringing in steam trays of friggin' shrimp.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.